As we move into the later weeks of the Easter season, our readings focus on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we begin to look forward to the great feast day of Pentecost. In our gospel, our Lord teaches us several things about the Holy Spirit. And first, he says that he will not leave us orphans. He will not abandon us. He calls the Holy Spirit our advocate. And the Greek word here would literally be paraclete. Well, what does that mean? You know, the paraclete literally is one who stands with us. And so if we want to think about an analogy, think about a defense attorney. If we're accused of a crime, our attorney stands with us and argues on our behalf before the judge because the defense attorney knows the legal system and is there to support us and to speak on our behalf. Or if we think about a coach, you know, coach is there at practices to train the members of the team and to instruct them, encourage them when they need some encouragement. He's there with them at games to call plays, and he's there at the sideline giving them advice and helping them to excel. You know, those are analogies that can help us understand what the Holy Spirit can do for us. The Holy Spirit is a gift given to us by our Heavenly Father. He gives us our advocate, one who stands with us at all times and is there to encourage us and to give us gifts of fortitude when we need strength. The Holy Spirit enlivens our prayer life and teaches us how to pray and gives us guidance in difficult situations when we open ourselves up to the promptings of grace. In the Catechism, paragraph 687, it says that those who believe in Christ know the Spirit because he dwells with them. We know the Holy Spirit because he's active and alive within us and because we experience his power within us. Christ says that the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit for two reasons. The first is because it does not see him. In a world that only believes in what it can see, the Holy Spirit isn't visible. And modern thought is especially prone to this. Modern thought will often reject anything that can't be scientifically proven. If you can't see it, if you can't touch it, it must not be real. And faith is often ridiculed or rejected. Now, science has its own rightful place, but it's limited in its scope. And it's only as good as the human knowledge that underpins it, which is why we often don't know very much about things. We don't know as much scientific knowledge as we'd like to know. We don't know as much about the coronavirus as we'd like to. You know, we don't know as much about nutrition and effects of things on our bodies as we'd like. And scientific claims are often wrong. They're often fallible because it's underpinned by human knowledge. And ultimately, we will never discover the existence of the Holy Spirit through some scientific experiment. And yet the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to eternal happiness. Union with God is the goal of human existence. And that's something that's beyond the scope of science. It requires faith in what is unseen. And so the second thing that our Lord tells us, the second reason why the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit is because it does not know him. And the Catechism tells us how to know the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 688 says, "The church, a communion living in the faith of the apostles which she transmits, is the place where we know the Holy Spirit." And so within the church we have the Bible. You know, the Bible is the Word of God, written by individuals who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. The very existence of the Bible is evidence of the existence of the Holy Spirit. Within the church, we see priests and religious. We see men and women who give up their lives in order to serve the church. Why? Because they're called by the Holy Spirit. We see men and women who are called to different ministries within the church, whether it's working with St. Vincent de Paul, or whether it's a call to educate people in the faith. You know, we see men and women all the time who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to step up and work with the ministry of the church. And that's evidence of the Holy Spirit. When someone is baptized, or when someone goes to the sacrament of confession and receives the forgiveness of sins, these are the works of the Holy Spirit. And within the church, we see the great saints, those who have reached incredible levels of holiness. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the world does not know the Holy Spirit, but we come to know the Holy Spirit in the church. And so we're called first to faith. Our Lord calls us to believe in the Holy Spirit, even though we cannot see the Holy Spirit, and to know the Holy Spirit through the church, through the sacraments when we receive grace, through the liturgy when we come together in prayer and the Holy Spirit is alive and drawing people together within the mystical body of Christ, within our prayer, which the Holy Spirit enlivens. We first receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, but we receive the full outpouring in the sacrament of confirmation. Confirmation is not about us making a decision or a choice to be Catholic. You know, sometimes you hear people say that that's what confirmation is. Well, that's not true. You know, you make a choice every day whether you want to live out the Catholic faith or not. But what confirmation is the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, it talks about the deacon Philip, who goes and he preaches and he baptizes a whole group of people in Samaria. But they call upon the apostles to lay hands on them and to receive the Holy Spirit. The deacon was not able to give the gift of the Holy Spirit through confirmation. And so they called upon the apostles, who have the rank of bishop, in order to impart the Holy Spirit. And so this reveals to us what the sacrament of confirmation is about. It's about one of the successors of the apostles laying hands upon an individual so they can receive the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The more deeply we believe in the Holy Spirit and allow Him to act within us, the more deeply we enter into the life of grace. Our Blessed Mother was the perfect example of grace because she was perfectly responsive to the grace of God within her. She had a deep and profound union with the Holy Spirit. And we should strive to imitate that example, to allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, to allow the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, the one who is there to give us strength, to give us comfort, the one who should be the driving force behind our vocations, the one who inspires us to live as better mothers or fathers or husbands or wives or priests or religious, you know, the one who inspires us more deeply in the life of prayer, and the one who guides us and instructs us in our decisions that we make, especially the difficult moral decisions that come along each day of our lives. And so we pray today for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we might have faith, and through the church and the sacramental life of the church, that the Holy Spirit might be alive and active within us.